Lewis tries to deal with what he thinks are the simplest building blocks of prayer initially. I explain more about that in the first session, which is free for people to watch.
This is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, author of C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, a companion and study guide to the Screwtape Letters. All About Jack is also part of the Theology Mix podcast network. On the show today is Reverend David Beckman, who is an Anglican priest, recent director of the C.S. Lewis Study Center at the Kilns, and moderator of the C.S. Lewis Society of Chattanooga. He's my guest because not long ago, he released a series of videos to help an individual or a group study the book by C.S. Lewis entitled Letters to Malcolm, Chiefly on Prayer. Well, welcome to the show, David.
Thanks for having me, William. Glad to talk with you.
Well, now, as noted at the start, you don't have a book to help people study Letters to Malcolm, but it's a 8-session video series. So let's start out addressing why not a book, but a video series instead. And if you don't mind, also answer with it, why did you choose Letters to Malcolm as opposed to another of Lewis's books?
Certainly, William. Well, the thing is that I do plan on having a book once I do some transcribing and some editing. But I wanted to do a video series on Letters to Malcolm because people love video. And Lewis fans love to see places where Lewis was and so forth. And having the opportunity to go back over to Oxford and to be able to do some filming there, I just thought that it would be a good format. And also, you know, when it comes to buying a book, you know, even though, like I said, I hope to have a book yet, the focus of the video series, which, and this goes, you know, just segues into your other question, is that I'm trying to get people to buy Lewis's book. So as I say in my introductory video, which if people go to the website where this video course is located, there's a free introductory video there, a little button you push. And I explain that that the video series does a number of different things. It's a book review of Letters to Malcolm. I summarize it in a lot of ways. I comment on it. But it's also book promotion. I'm interested in more people reading Letters to Malcolm. And one of the reasons I chose it is because it is lesser known. And I think it's a valuable book. It is the result of decades of Lewis's reflection upon the topic of prayer and other things that he likes to throw in there. So I'm just trying to encourage people to read the book. You know, the course as a video, I thought it would be, you know, interesting to people. And just it's a different format than the book. So we're changing things up. So that's basically the reason why I went with video.
Okay, well now, while the series is divided officially into 8 sessions, you actually have 2 parts to the 7th, which you can comment on later. So that means technically there's 9 videos. Well now then, a key reason I mention that is that I want you to first share highlights from your teaching from the initial 3 lectures. So if you were leading a group and summarizing some of the most important points from these first 3 videos, what would they be?
Well, you know, there are 22 letters in the book. And so I have to cover a number of letters in the different sessions. And, you know, the thing about it is that Lewis, he tries to deal with what he thinks are the simplest building blocks of prayer initially. I explain more about that in the first session, which is free, by the way, for people to watch, where I explain the principle that Lewis borrows from Thomas A. Kempis to organize his book. And so you start out with very simple matters, and then they get more complicated. And in the first session, I'm dealing with the first 3 letters, which is pretty much just about the words that we use in prayer. Then the second session, there are some intellectual problems, and this is where he gets more into some of the apologetic material in the book. I thought it was interesting that Walter Hooper, in his companion to C.S. Lewis, says that Letters to Malcolm was a great apologetic work of Lewis's. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, from a particular standpoint, yes. And the thing about it is, what's apologetic, it's sort of more indirectly apologetic in that he has had his own intellectual questions about prayer, and has struggled with these intellectual questions and tries to answer them for himself. So that if anyone were balking at the Christian faith because they shared these intellectual questions, then it could be an apologetic work. But he also deals with the Lord's Prayer. Again, you know, what do we pray? And then he begins to get into Jesus's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He spends a good bit of time on this. In fact, there's several letters that are based upon his reflection of the Garden of Gethsemane. And so in these, by the time we get to the third session, we're starting to get into the Gethsemane part of the book.
Well, now, one of the things I failed to mention and hasn't been pointed out yet is that it, with the videos, you also have a informal study guide. It's not a lengthy study guide, but it's a great summary of the content. And then you typically do provide some for discussion that a group could do or an individual could use to help them reflect upon this material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's a free PDF download. Most of them are just single pages, and they help you to go through the session. I do have the times listed as to where you are in the video. And then I tried to work on some discussions questions at the end that I thought would be helpful.
Let's go ahead then, and not surprisingly, have you do somewhat of a summary for the fourth through the sixth sessions. Point out a few of the key ideas you want people to take away from this part of the book.
Well, you know, there's so many ideas. That's the thing about Letters to Malcolm is it's so packed with interesting insights. You know how Lewis is. He's writing about, he tells you there's a particular subject he's writing about, but he's often falling into the thought association thing, though there's usually a plan behind it, but it comes across like he's distracting himself or going off into rabbit paths. And so there's just all kinds of thoughts that get thrown in. But in these next three sessions, four, five, and six, again, he is summarizing his thoughts upon the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. One really critical point is Jesus's statement in Mark 11:24. Where he says that, whatever we ask, we will receive. And the ending this apparent blank check that Jesus gives us, and then Jesus's example of praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." It's like, well, Jesus, can't you follow your own advice? I mean, can't you pray with faith like you're encouraging us to pray? And there seems to be some kind of a contradiction. And that's actually something that Lewis struggled with for many years. Back in 1952, I think it was, well before he wrote this book, he actually addressed this problem to a group of clergy and asked them, "Can you help me with this problem?" And I don't think they gave him an answer to it. But I deal with that in this section. And then finally, Lewis's this idea that he has that we run into in letter four, the Screwtape Letters. I'm sure you, being a master of the Screwtape Letters, will remember the passage where Screwtape is talking about trying about people that get fixated on where they think God is in the room, mm-hmm. Like they think he's like up in one corner of the ceiling or something like that. And he warns Wormwood, "You don't let your patient get to the point where they pray a prayer like this: God, I come to you as you know who I am, praying to you as you know who you are," because that person is really beginning to break through into the reality of the presence of God. And Lewis gets into that idea in his book here in Letters to Malcolm, and I deal with that in the sixth session. I think it's a terrific concept because Lewis is trying to get into the presence of God. That's one of the main things that the whole book is about. Is how do I get into God's presence and know that he hears me?
A very important subject indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, now, before getting to the last third of the material from your video, let's take a bit of a break here and have you share something about yourself. Let's go ahead and have you tell us who you are and how you developed a interest in Lewis.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those people that has just seemingly always been interested in Lewis. I know that can't be the case because I didn't start reading Christian literature until I was senior in high school or entering into college. I went to college in the early 70s, and InterVarsity Christian Fellowship was big back in those days. And Campus Crusade, and I'm sure that I started picking up Lewis books off the book tables back in those days and started avidly reading him. And so he's been a huge part of the development of my Christian walk for decades now, because, like I say, that was in the 70s. So I've been around a little while. And when it comes to the C.S. Lewis Society here in Chattanooga, that was initially started as a ministry of my church, and I've just kept it going through the years. And because of the connections you make, like, you know, the two of us, for example, you wind up being asked to speak about Lewis in different places and those sorts of things. And so I've just been involved with writing and speaking about Lewis for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, something like that. And of course, as it is with anybody that teaches anything, you know that you benefit the most from it than, you know, just by teaching something. And so it's been a huge benefit to me to get through Lewis's material and share it with people and be reminded of it. Now, one of the things about being involved with C.S. Lewis things as an Anglican priest, as a minister of the gospel, is I'm often dealing with Lewis's material more in terms of the Christian life and Christian thought. You know, Lewis wrote about all kinds of different things, you know, literature, philosophy, different aspects he's a very literary person, but he also dealt a lot with Christian life and Christian living. And people who are quote unquote C.S. Lewis scholars, they usually have their forte. They tend to spend more time on, you know, literary criticism or philosophy or apologetics and these sorts of things. But my background equips me to spend more time dealing with the stuff he has to say about Christian living. So you've got important parts of his writing, such as those passages in Mere Christianity about Christian living, Screwtape Letters, of course. And then you've got something very devotional like this, the Letters to Malcolm. That tends to be the kind of thing that I do. So in the past, when I was at the Kilns and I held a retreat there for people living in Oxford, we studied Letters to Malcolm, and it was very much just a conference on prayer. And then as I've taught on Letters to Malcolm since then as well, it's something that just dovetails with my background, so that I'm really using Lewis in a way to help people to better understand God's word. So you know, my life and then Lewis's writings, it just dovetails into more of a ministry to people who are interested in Christian living.
Before getting back into the content of your video series, one of the things you mentioned earlier was about a variety of locations for each session. We haven't talked more about that, so let's go ahead and address that briefly here. How did you go about choosing the different locations for your series? Of course, mention some of those locations.
Well, what happened was I very much had Devin Brown's recent Discussing Mere Christianity video series of mine. I know you're familiar with that, where Eric Metaxas takes you to all these famous locations, you know, Magdalen College and University College. It's a wonderful video series, and I strongly encourage your listeners to get that and to watch that. But I was thinking I would like to do something that's a little more personal, a little more intimate, something that was had more of an intimate feel to it. And so I start the video series in his study in the Kilns, where he wrote the book, which is not where, you know, there is a library and a study down on the first floor of the house that people always film. But this is the study upstairs that he set up after World War II. And as I explain in the first video, which again is free for people to watch, Walter Hooper remember seeing the manuscript of Letters to Malcolm on the desk up there in that room. So I filmed there. Also, I'm sitting at one point on the little brick bench by the lake where Lewis and his brother Warney like to just sit and lounge and talk. And then I go to the church, Holy Trinity Church, where he attended to talk about certain issues related to church life. I also go, now this is an interesting place, I don't think anybody has filmed here before. I go to the White Hart Pub, which is in Headington, and it's the pub. Now, I found out about this from Abby Santa Maria, that this is the pub where Jack and Joy would meet in that first year or two that she was living there in Headington. This is before they were married. So it was a place where they, you know, had many happy getting to know you kind of hours there. I deal with the Gethsemane issue there. People know about Lewis going to Shotover Hill. Instead of going there, I go to a footpath north, out in the countryside, north of the town where Lewis would go walking. So, you know, I'm just trying to do some things that, are more unusual, and have more of an intimate feel, to them. So that's what I was thinking about when I chose these locations.
And I did enjoy the different locations when I watched most of the series. It was very interesting. I think it added to that.
Good. You'll notice I did have some trouble with the lighting in a couple of them. But, we wound up spending a good bit of time sitting at a table behind the library in the shade, sort of having casual conversation.
Now, getting back into the content of the video series, the last three videos, which is actually seven part one, seven part two, and then session number eight, can you tell us what are some of the most important points you would like people to take away?
Mm-hmm. Sorry about the confusion there. What happened was, the session seven wound up being so long. I just had so much to say. It was just kind of hard to handle it. So I've split it up to where you can, I think the first part of seven ought to go with six, but be that as it may, Lewis's book, Letters to Malcolm, is primarily in two parts. The first 16 letters are on petitionary prayer, and then the last letters are, they're supposed to be, on adoration, a worship prayer. He really gets off on a lot of other things. And so in this last part, session seven, the two sevens and eight, we delve into the part of the book that is about adoration. I deal with his views on Holy Communion. It's interesting that he says that he'd never written on Holy Communion before, but he did in that book, and I explain why he was doing that. And then some of his speculations about the saints who have gone ahead, and because there's the issue about praying to the saints or praying for the saints and these sorts of things. And there's there's some stuff in the last part of the book that I just don't cover. I did cover some of it when I gave a lecture on the book to the Oxford University C.S. Lewis Society. But there are some things that I stayed away from because they're so speculative. I would be opening up all kinds of other things when I wanted to have a series that was especially helpful for Christians and their prayer life, you know, gleaning out of the book the things that were specifically in that area, and not getting into some of the other speculative things that are enjoyable and maybe inspiring, but just weren't focused on the prayer specifically.
Right, and then as I'm not sure that we pointed this out, but since these are letters to an imaginary person, the reason Lewis did this was that he was not trying to say this is absolutely 100% what I believe about prayer, but he's acknowledging prayer is so complex. I'd like to share some thoughts I have, and since some of it is tentative, I'm doing it in the form of letters, so the speculative parts can be interesting to some, not to others, but like you say, in terms of for the focus of your material, it was best to approach things as you did.
Oh, absolutely. You can't help but think that once he got the idea of doing letters, all the frustration about trying to write a book on prayer just went away. And he said, I can have some fun with this. And so, he writes his fiction letters. And of course, people sometimes are disappointed. Oh, Malcolm's not a real person. Yeah, sorry, he's not. it's a great device for being able to write without preaching to people, which was something about prayer, because he did not want to come across like an expert, because he sure didn't feel like he was.
Well, David, before wrapping up, let's have you tell the listeners about your blog specifically, which you haven't yet, as well as more about the Lewis group that you have in Tennessee. So if people are near enough or close enough to maybe travel sometime, tell us about those things.
Well, the C.S. Lewis Society of Chattanooga has been around since 2005. And we have had monthly meetings, sometimes bi-monthly, sometimes bi-weekly meetings. We've had conferences, special speakers. A lot of times we've spent just going through, just having discussions about Lewis's writings, going through books together. We always have a White Witch-defying Christmas party, which has been fun through the years. And then we'll have special speakers come in, like yourself, which we've had the week twice. And so we've done a lot of different things. We do have a Facebook group. If people want to keep in touch with us through that, it's just C.S. Lewis Society Chattanooga. You can search it that way. Or just, you know, do a Google C.S. Lewis Society Chattanooga and you'll come up with some stuff. I also do have a blog, which is what I would point people to for this course on Letters to Malcolm. The blog is just simply revbeckman.com, all one word, R-E-V as in Victor, Beckman, B-E-C-K-M-A-N-N, I have two N's on my name, .com. And anyone that goes there, right in front of them on the right-hand side, there's a link to the course, and that's the simplest way to get to it. And they can watch the intro video, they can watch a free first session, and there's other introductory material there as well. So that's how people can stay in touch with me, through the blog and C.S. Lewis Society stuff.
Great. And then, of course, I will have links in my show notes for those things. So if people are just listening and they haven't had a chance to write it down, or if they go to as a quick way for the links, then that's possible as well. Let's go ahead and wrap up, David. So getting back to your C.S. Lewis on Prayer, which is the name of the video series, which is online only. It's not something that comes through with DVDs. It's something that they can watch online as an individual or as a group. Let's have you close by having you summarize why an individual or a group might want to consider getting this video series.
You know, if you're a C.S. Lewis fan and you're wanting a summary of this book, if you haven't read it, that this provides that for you, though, you know, I will be challenging the viewer to get the book because I don't quote anything from the book at all. But I just, you know, try to whet people's appetite for it. So I think it would be something that, you know, C.S. Lewis fans in general would be interested in watching if they're just not familiar with the book, because I also provide some supplementary material as well. But then when it comes to the audience, it is C.S. Lewis on Prayer, and I have focused in on what he has to say that's instructional and helpful for Christian prayer, also including some of my own material as a way of applying and understanding, so that I will, for example, go to a passage of scripture perhaps Lewis doesn't mention to explain that and to try to help people understand biblically, you know, why is it that Lewis says this, and why is his answer a good answer, and these sorts of things. So it's you can treat it not just, you know, for, you know, a course that's about Lewis, but just a course about Christian prayer, and because that's, you know, that's the focus of it. And so, and that's what I was aiming for.
Great. Well, one of the things here I wanted to make sure, maybe this is mentioned, but just as a final thing, each video is no more than about 25 minutes and such. I don't know that we necessarily said that, but let's point that out as well. Well, David, yeah. It's been a pleasure to have you here on All About Jack.
Well, William, it's been great to join you here on this program. You got a great podcast, and you do a terrific job, and we really do appreciate your hard work at this. I know it's a labor of love, so thank you for your podcast.
Well, I appreciate your kind words.
Certainly. All the best.
And thank you, my listener, for your interest in All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, and All About Jack is also part of the Theology Mix podcast network. Be sure to check the show notes for any links mentioned during the program. The show notes can be found either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. The Podbean location is where the podcast is most easily found and navigated. Again, that's AllAboutJack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. The other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, highlights the most recent show on the main page and also has space dedicated to listing past shows and the notes for them. Additionally, you can find a variety of other material on Lewis at EssentialCSLewis.com, including a popular series that explores quotations attributed to him that may not be from him. When you visit my site, be sure to listen to other interviews and special podcasts on a variety of topics, mostly directly related to Lewis. And in case you didn't know, during the week, I occasionally post previously released podcasts on my iTunes feed that you can also find at the Podbean address. If you don't know how to get to the show on iTunes, then be sure to check the show notes for a direct link to that. Again, those notes can be found either at EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you do visit me on iTunes, please consider rating my podcast as it can help others find it there. Finally, in case you haven't heard, I have a book called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, A Companion and Study Guide to the Screwtape Letters. It is available online at Amazon. Paperback is $14.99, and at last check, the Kindle edition was just $3.49. Buying the book is a great way to help support my podcast. You can learn more about my book by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Thanks again for listening to All About Jack.